Bill Walker is joining us on the phone, talking about the Article 5 Convention of States. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to join us.
No problem.
So I guess,
doing it.
So I guess the first question that I have for you is, you have an organization called the FOAVC. What does that stand for, and what's that organization about?
I'm getting an echo. Are you hearing it on that on your end?
Nope.
Okay. FOAVC stands for Friends of the Article 5 Convention. We're the oldest Article 5 Convention organization in the United States. We're formed in 2007. Our main purpose is described by our title. Is we are attempting to bring about the calling of an Article 5 convention, in fact, several of them, because the facts show that's what's supposed to occur. And have been active in attempting to do so for the last 10 years. We are nonpartisan. We do not support any particular amendment proposal, but do refer to them and discuss them in the organizations that are behind them in our website. And the website address is www.foavc.org.
FOAVC.org. Now, you just mentioned a few moments ago calling multiple conventions. I know we're talking about one here in the state calling to limit the size and scope of the federal government, but there are more out there?
Oh, well, yeah. Let's just explain this very carefully.
I would love
that. Article 5 basically requires that the Congress of the United States call a convention for proposing amendments, that's the words used in the Constitution, or an Article 5 convention on the application of two-thirds of the several state legislatures. When we say multiple conventions, the records of the applications already recorded by Congress, already shown in the congressional record, show that they should already have called 11 conventions. The reason they haven't is because they've never bothered to count the applications. So when the state of Nebraska, for example, is discussing an application for calling a convention for proposing amendments, then they are basically working on the question of whether the 12th or the 13th, depending on where their application falls, assuming they make one, will cause that particular convention call to be made. The state has already applied in the past. Those applications are already then fit into that. We call them a tier. This is what we do. We take the two-thirds of the state legislatures, put them in a row, and when that row is finished, that one then causes and so on and so forth. So, in other words, they're discussing an event that would be well in the future because they've already, the states have already done the first, second, third, and so on and so forth applications.
Okay. So, what's the update? What's the status? Where does everything sit?
Well, right now, Congress is counting the applications. They have already, and I have been in contact with people in Congress, they're moving very slowly on this because they want to do it correctly. Have a committee in the House, which is for the first time counting the applications. They've already found 36 states in the records, which have been a complete mess. This is why, one of the reasons why they've never been counted, they've never had a procedure to actually have anybody keep track of the applications. So they've been buried in the archives, the National Archives, for literally, some cases, centuries. The archivist was requested by Congressman Messer of Indiana, who then introduced legislation that he just recently reintroduced, to force the archivist to bring all these out to Congress so that they could be tabulated and examined for public examination and so on and so forth. The archivist had previously refused his request because they said that the law did not authorize them to do this, even though if you read the laws that are involved, I think there is some dispute on that. Nevertheless, the archivist took the position that we're not going to do this. And so now the Congress has had at their, under their laws that they currently exist, had a one of their committees literally digging through the records and publishing the applications.
Bill, Andy here. You mentioned that the threshold has been met multiple times in the past for states to call an Article 5 convention. There is Supreme Court case law, one of the last ones that I read that's mentioned on your site, that basically says Congress must be, Congress is compelled once that threshold is met to call the convention. Why are we just getting to this now? I know you explained a little bit that they were dragging their heels. There was nothing in place. Why was there a need for anything to be in place?
Well, we've got 15 minutes, not 15 hours, but I'll basically just sum it up this way. If you aren't trying to push the cow out the barn door, it's very likely the cow isn't going to go. And that would be the basic answer.
I wondered if that may be the case. Now, there's also a question with an Article 5 convention of whether or not states have the ability to limit the content or the discussion points. With Nebraska's latest application, they want to limit it to three things: the size and scope of the government, term limits, fiscal restraint. I know Nebraska was the first state way back when to pass an application for an Article 5 convention, and there have been others throughout the years, as you had mentioned. So what is your opinion of that, and what is there to back that up, whether or not states can limit the discussion of any such convention? And how does that play into your thought that multiple conventions should have already been held?
Well, the courts have already expressed that there can be no addition, construction, or anything to other than what is actually stated in Article 5. It is a process. It's like when you go out to start your car. You do certain things. You shut the door. You put on the seatbelt. You turn the key. You're not going to get out and push the car unless it's broken down, that type of thing. In other words, there's a process to drive your car. You have a process when you sign on in the morning to do your job, and so on and so forth. Well, Article 5 is the exact same thing. One of that part of that process is it's a numeric count of states. And if you take a look at the list that is being formulated, you'll see that the Congress is following that. And it was established in May 5th, 1789 by Congress that it is state and date. No subject is involved. So can the states, now when we talk about the states, you have to understand that the courts say what the states is and what people think of the states as is two separate things. Most people, when they say the states, they're referring to limiting, they're talking about can the state legislature limit the convention? And the answer is no. And the reason the state legislature cannot limit it is because then they would be unconstitutionally proposing an amendment. They are not allowed to propose amendments under Article 5. What the courts refer to the phrase, to separate it and to understand, is they refer to it as the people of the state. In other words, you have to understand that when you're discussing about states limiting a convention, if you're discussing state legislatures doing it, no, they can't. Can the people of the state, when they elect representatives that go to these conventions, can they limit it? Yes, they can. They can elect people who say, we will only discuss X, Y, and Z. And if a sufficient number of people elect a sufficient number of delegates, then yes, the convention itself, based on the representation of the people who have sent them, can limit themselves. Can it be limited by an act of the legislature, for example, having a felony law which states that they can do this? No. Why? Because the convention is made up of citizens, and the other proposing body in the Constitution is the Congress. So if you want to know whether or not this can be done, you simply ask yourself a very simple question. Under the 14th Amendment, these two groups are treated equally because they are citizens proposing amendments. They're the only citizen proposing amendments. So the question is very simple. Can you do this to Congress? Can you pass a felony law which states to the members of Congress, you will obey instructions from the state legislatures, and if you don't, you will be arrested because you have violated felony law? Now, if you can do it to Congress, then you can do it to the convention. The answer is, though, you cannot do it to members of Congress, therefore you cannot do it to convention delegate. But, and here is the most important thing, what everybody ignores in this is that there are two controlling factors. One is the constitutional. The other is the political. To be able to get something through a convention and to get it ratified requires first two-thirds passage by the state delegations and then three-quarters passage either by state legislatures or by convention, state conventions, such as was done with the 21st Amendment. That is a massive amount of support that is has to be garnered to obtain it. And a simple examination of the political separation that we have in this country shows that neither the liberals or the conservatives have sufficient power by themselves to get an amendment through. So in other words, the opposition in the elected process also comes into play. And this is why, therefore, while yes, constitutionally a convention can consider anything, the political effect prevents that from just becoming anything they want to do because the opposition is simply not going to permit it. Moreover, all it requires is 13 houses of state legislatures or 13 conventions to prevent the ratification of anything that a state or that the convention may propose. So that is a extraordinarily small group of people that can prevent an amendment from becoming part of the Constitution because they politically disagree with it.
So if I'm hearing you right, we can kind of correlate this to faithless electors, to where you designate people to go to the convention. You say, we only want to talk about these things. You put your faith in them that they're not going to do that. Now, if they decide to change their mind when they get there, the hurdles that need to be overcome are so great that it is highly unlikely that something that isn't popular among the rest of the nation would become an amendment.
Yeah, and there also is another point that people don't realize. The ratification procedure of Article 5, the state legislatures are part of it. Now, that's the general way that it has been done. There's only one amendment, the 21st, that was done where the state conventions were held. Basically, assuming that is the process that Congress would choose, and Congress is the one that decides which one it is, the state legislatures can decide whether they're going to ratify anything at any time they choose, so long as they don't send it into Congress. It doesn't become the official position of the of that state as a representative, as a vote by the state legislature. Okay, so what the state legislatures can do is, if during the discussion of, say, let's just take a subject, a repeal of federal income tax, which is going to be on the agenda, by the way. If that was the discussion, and let's say the state of Alabama, for whatever reason, decided they wanted federal income tax, the legislature can go in and declare and say, okay, we have determined that we are going to veto or not accept or refuse to ratify this proposal. They could then call the state of Georgia, the state of California, the state of New York, whatever. And those legislatures come out. Well, if 13 of those state legislatures announce during the convention that they're going to say, no, we're not going to accept it, then politically the thing is dead because you already know it's not going to get ratified unless you can persuade Congress to send it down the opposite way, down through the people. But the problem is, if these legislatures do it, you can bet that the people that are electing them have said, hey, we want income tax in these various states. You're going to get the same reaction in the states from the state conventions that you're going to get from the state legislatures.
We could carry this over to the next hour, but I know you've got other things to do today. But I think what you've done for Kyle and I is you've raised more questions than and the answers give us a great insight to this. But one question I would have before we let you go, if there are multiple conventions that Congress is legally going to be compelled to call, where does that put Nebraska's application right now? Do we have to legally go through convention 1 through 10 before we get to this next level of application, or what happens there with that?
Well, remember that all the application subjects, Congress is just looking at the number of states that have applied.
So they subject matter doesn't matter.
Subject matter doesn't matter as to the call itself. All of the applications are then sent over to the convention, because what you're doing, what you're saying to the nation is saying to the state legislatures, the people are saying to the state legislatures who in turn make the applications is, okay, look, guys, we want to discuss, have a convention propose X. Okay. The X's are then all sent over to the convention, everything. And the convention then has to sort through it, look at it, and so on and so forth. So as far as the specific Nebraska application being considered, yes, it would be immediately considered.
Okay, so but if Congress declares that the threshold has been met, we're not going to have convention 1 through 10 and then 11. We're going to have one convention that's called, and the states are going to have to sort out with who they send to these conventions what they're going to allow them to talk about.
No, you're going to have 11 conventions because Congress hasn't done its job in a timely fashion.
So we have to call 11 conventions.
We have to call 11 conventions because the language of Article 5 very clearly says, on the application of two-thirds of the states, Congress shall call. Well, two-thirds of the states have applied 11 times. There's over 500 applications. You need, 34 of them to do the job.
How soon do you think they're going to get through these applications?
At the rate that the committee is going, I would say that you're looking at probably 3 to 4 more years at the rate they're going, assuming that the Messer bill is not enacted. If it's enacted, you're going to get the full, you're going to start seeing the information within 2 years, according to the bill. But let me finish that point I want to make up. The subject matter of all the applications, until the convention disposes of it, will be put to each convention. Congress should have done its job, and then you'd only be discussing one convention. But the problem is that if you don't hold these 11 conventions, then you're allowing that all Congress has to do to not call anything is simply sit it out. Just ignore it, right. And then you've established they can veto it by they just don't call again until they've piled up, and they say, well, we can dispense of all of them. And so you've got to call them to keep the Constitution viable. You can't allow the government any out where it can simply veto or walk away from an obligation. It's like, for example, with the president. He has a 4-year term. You can't allow the fact that for whatever reason you don't hold an election every 4 years because, then you have allowed for a veto, and you can't do that. Same thing here. It's a weird situation, but it's entirely the fault of Congress. It has nothing to do with the people. It has nothing to do with the state. They have submitted those applications in faith. Congress ignored them, and now Congress is going to have to take the political heat for basically causing a ridiculous situation of 25 years of conventions. Now, maybe politically, when these conventions get going, they might literally come in, say, hi, we've already discussed everything, boom, we're done, we adjourn, and they're gone. They've met. They've satisfied the Constitution. That might occur. I don't know. But I do know that under the terms of the Constitution, they're going to have to at least be called. That doesn't necessarily mean anybody has to answer the call, but it does mean that Congress is obligated to call.
Bill, I think you just helped Congress's approval ratings tank just a little bit more. All right, we've got to cut you off. We're at our top of the hour break. Bill, thanks for coming on and joining us. If we have any more questions, we will be sure to reach out to you.
Oh, thank you very much. And like I said, if you want more information, you can go to www.foavc.org. And I appreciate the time, and thank you for having me on.